At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the MMQB podcast. I'm Connor Orr. Albert Breer is here. A little quiet this morning. That's because we're doing it early in the morning. And when you have a home studio, sometimes, Albert, your kids are still asleep. So you can't do the full yell because then you just wake up the entire house and you mess everything up. But Albert is in Tampa Bay. He's getting ready to hang out with the Buccaneers. I am in New York preparing for the Snoopy Bowl. I mean, let's get real. This is the event of the preseason.
Somebody told me they don't call it that anymore. Like, did you hear about this?
I mean, you can't have grown up in the Rex Ryan era and not call it the Snoopy Bowl at this point.
Well, no, but like, I guess like MetLife doesn't like have Snoopy like as the mascot anymore. Is that right?
What?
Yeah, like so, like this. I don't know if I'm breaking news here, but like when I was at the Jets the other day, I called it the Snoopy Bowl, and somebody with the Jets corrected me on that. Said it's not the Snoopy Bowl anymore. And I was like, wait, what do you mean I can't call it that? He's like, no, you can call it that. It's just Snoopy's not the spokesman for I don't even know what to call him. Like, I was gonna say sponsor, but he's not the sponsor. He's not the spokesman. He is the spokesman, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's a non-audible spokesperson, right?
Yeah, I think so, right?
Yeah,
but apparently Snoopy and MetLife cut ties with Snoopy, which is like really awful.
Well, I mean, they're tough times for everybody here. So I guess, you know, you have to try to dial back on something. But it's just like Syracuse where I went, right? It's not the Carrier Dome anymore, but it's always going to be the Carrier
it's
Dome.
Not?
So, yeah, what is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a sad day when we're nostalgic about corporate names, you know?
Right. Like, it's not like... Oh, it's the JMA Wireless Dome.
Okay. Because Carrier was the air conditioning company, right?
And oddly enough, like the place like didn't have any air conditioning, which was like the funniest part.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're just going to do a little mailbag style back and forth today while we prepare for our full season preview next week. And then, gosh, Albert, it's Labor Day. And then all of a sudden, you and I are going to be, talking during the middle of an actual football season. This is crazy.
We're almost there, right at the finish line.
So the first
starting line.
Yeah.
Starting line. It's early here. Yeah.
Yeah. First one that I want to hit.
The starting line.
First one I'm going to hit you with, Michael Penix not playing for the rest of the preseason. I've been religiously tracking rookie QB stuff during the preseason. I've watched every snap, every rookie QB snap. I don't have a big problem with it. I have my theories here, but talk me through this. Why is Michael Penix not playing for the rest of the preseason after I think it was 16 or 18 snaps, something like that?
Yeah, I haven't dug into this as quite as much as some of the other ones because obviously there's no competition there, but I mean, the best explanation I can come up with is that you don't want to put him out there with backups. I think that's usually what it is, you know, and, I go back to Caleb not playing in the Hall of Fame game. That wasn't that the Bears didn't want to get him work. Of course they wanted to get him work. You know, he's a rookie, set to be their starting quarterback. It just wasn't worth it to them to put him out there with a backup offensive line. That wasn't going to be productive for them with, a bunch of guys on the other side who are fighting like hell to make a team. And I think that's the other part of this too, is Connor, you and I both know this, like there's like a code in preseason games, right? And that makes it so there's like two levels to a preseason game. There's the part where like the guys who are going to make the team are in, where I do think that there's some level of guys taking care of each other, you know, and you don't see like a lot of like bone crunching hit. And there's a reason for that, you know, and when starters are in preseason games. And then there's the other part of the preseason game, which is like just a bunch of guys trying to make a team, you know? And so, you know, as best I can tell, and I'm going to dig a little bit more into this today, but as best as I can tell, it would seem like the decision for Raheem Morris and for Zach Robinson and all the guys in Atlanta is based on there's not a real we're not planning on playing our starters, and there's not a huge benefit for us in throwing him out there into sort of this Wild West scenario where you have a bunch of guys trying to make a team.
Do you think it has anything to do with the fact that Penix looked so good that you don't want to send chills up and down the spine of Captain Kirk? Or if you had planned on doing the full-blown Kaepernick to or Alex Smith to Kaepernick transition, you don't want to give away part of your playbook. I'm just saying, Penix looked spicy during that debut.
I like your conspiracy theories there. They're pretty good.
It's better.
Yeah. I will say, like, on the first point, there probably is an element of we saw what we needed to see. You know what I mean? Here's a guy who, like Bo Nix, like Jaden Daniels, was a multi-year starter at multiple power conference schools, right? So he's a guy who's got a lot of reps under his belt, probably needs them less than, you know, some other quarterbacks coming into the league, like a Drake May or even like a Caleb Williams, right? And so he basically checked the boxes we needed him to check. There's no need to, I guess, to borrow a phrase, there's no need for any cowboy bleep out there. Like, let's just get him to the regular season. And, you know, we know he's on our team, and we'll use the third preseason game to figure out who's going to be on a roster and who isn't.
Yeah. How did you kind of, I'm not going to ask you to like power rank them, but who impressed you the most out of the rookies in the preseason so far? And what are kind of your overall takeaways of the rookie QB class at this point?
So I'd be interested to hear what you think of Bo Nix, because I got his, like, I got the rundown of his, the seven possessions he was in here, right? You want to hear him?
Okay. Yes, I do. I was critical of Bo Nix in his first start. And yep. I have like two Broncos fans that I'm pretty sure are just Sean Payton in different Twitter names that are just like torturing me.
Multiple burners, huh?
Yeah, it's a double burner situation. And I think just for added volume, but it's this thing like I think I predict them to go like, I don't know, 6-11. Is that what happens? Yeah. 6-11.
The 17 game math is still fuzzy, and we're going
to
18.
It's just awful.
Games,
so, and then wait, at least when we get to 20, I'll be able to add it up on the fly, you know? Yeah. But I think I predicted them to go like 6-11 last year. And this is when these burners kind of started popping up, and they're like, you don't understand, our pass rush is amazing. And just like talking to you like a coach after like three or four drinks would. So I'm heightened suspicion here. I was critical of Bo Nix in his first start because almost none of I think I know what stat you're gonna say, but I still want you to say it anyway because it's valuable. But the first start, almost none of his throws came from a solid platform. He was frantic, like he was just flying out of the pocket, and you know, I think every throw he was just like kind of hesitating, and then you'd run a little bit and you'd throw, you'd move when you didn't really need to move, and so I was like, ah. That's weird. Like, but the second start, he really calmed down. Like everything was from a solid platform. He looked good. And I think from what you're about to tell me, he's quite productive.
Yeah. So seven possessions, 11 plays, 45 yards, field goal, 10 plays, 56 yards, touchdown, then a fumble lost on the first snap, you know, which was a miscue, of course. Then seven plays, 75 yards, field goal in a 2-minute situation, coming back out of the half, 10 plays, 56 yards, touchdown. And then he starts this week, a couple days ago, 9 plays, 34 yards, field goal, 11 plays, 80 yards, touchdown. I mean, like it's preseason and they're not scheming yet. They're not game planning yet. And all of that's valid. But I mean, there is something to be said for when you put him in, the offense moves. Now, here's my caveat. It would be alarming if he didn't look good. because he had 61 starts in college. he was a multi-year starter at two major conference programs. This guy on paper should be as prepared as any quarterback has ever been to come into the NFL based on the amount of reps and the amount of starts that he had in college. And to me, because of that, the question has never been, Connor, what he's going to look like in year one or year two. I think was combined with Sean Payton, you can conjure up a vision for that. To me, the question has always been, what is he going to look like in year four or year five? When the time comes and you have to pay a guy $50 or $60 million a year. And that's why I think there's this corollary with Kenny Pickett and Mac Jones, where both those guys look pretty good as rookies. And I think Kenny Pickett had a perfect passer rating for the preseason last year. So, nice. Yeah, somebody raised that to me yesterday and I was blown away and I had neglected to look it up, but I think he had a perfect passer rating for the preseason last year. And he was benched. He wound up being benched, you know? So my point on bringing up Pickett and Mac is that those guys were sort of, I would say, profiled similarly, where they were both very ready for the pros, but with both the question was the ceiling. And I think that's sort of what Bo Nix is fighting against. It's not how ready he's going to be in year one. It's going to be how much room he has left to grow and whether it's a what you see is what you get situation, you know?
Albert, per NFL Live, Kenny Pickett is the first quarterback in the last 2+ decades to finish the season with a perfect preseason passer rating. Wow.
He got benched. Like how many games did it take him to get benched?
Not that many.
What have you done for me lately?
Yeah. This preseason is going to be a total mind.
That blew my mind. When somebody said that to me, that blew my freaking mind. Wow. So I'm glad it was actually correct. And even though I neglected to look it up.
I mean, it's the kind of stat that you're not going to soon forget when you hear it. And yeah, it's one of those things that when, you know, it's going to be fun being old and educating our kids on the finer points of the game and saying, you know, at one point I lived through Kenny Pickett's perfect pass rating preseason. Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable.
I mean, but you know what I'm saying though, like, right, like with Mac and Kenny, it was like these guys are incredibly ready, and they were, really competent starting quarterbacks as rookies. And there was excitement going into year two, and then they just sort of leveled off. And so I think that's going to be the question with Bo Nix. It's like, can he level up in year three, year four? But I think, I mean, they have to start him now. Like, I don't think there's any question that he's their starter.
Yeah, it's I get what Sean Payton is doing. It's like the Parcells thing. But, you know, if you're Bo Nix, you're probably looking around and being like, OK, what are you going to do? Jared Stidham? You're going to do Zach Wilson? Good luck, pal.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
He was really good. I think the first two picks have been really good too.
Yeah.
Like I think Caleb, it makes sense based on the way they've ramped him up, how creative they were in creating opportunities for him. Like during the pre-draft process to learn their offense, they were installing with him in the Zoom meetings. I wrote about that this week, where those 3 1-hour Zoom meetings, they were putting in formations and motions and cadence and all that different stuff. They used the 30 visit for that also. And I mean, I think like, the biggest thing with Caleb is it's as advertised, right? And then, I mean, Jaden. So I mentioned I was at Jets the other day. I had someone with the Jets tell me like they were blown away with what they saw with Jaden Daniels when they practiced against them, like blown away. And, you know, they obviously, you know, he's another one who's a high volume guy, so he should be ready. I think he had 55 starts in college, just like Bo Nix was a multi-year starter at two different major conference programs, so he should be ready. But when I got to see him in person, In a practice setting, he just looks so smooth. Everything looks really natural, you know? It's just like he, as a runner, he glides, and the way he throws the ball on the run just like looks so natural. It's nothing looks hard for him, you know? And I think there's something to be said for that. So, you know, obviously the numbers tell us not all these quarterbacks are going to make it. JJ McCarthy looked really good, you know, before he got
Right.
hurt. I do think that in the preseason, there's some element of, you know, because the other team isn't game planning against you, because, you know, you may not be playing against their starters. There's an opportunity for the coaches to kind of game it up a little bit so it can give the young quarterback some confidence. So that's the context, you know, we're looking at them under. But, you know, I think even with Drake, like, I think all of them, you see why they were first round picks.
I remember last year texting you during a, well, you were in the Patriots press box, or maybe you were doing TV in the New England area when CJ Stroud was up there, and
He looked awful.
the Patriots beat the crap out of him. And it was
And
glaring.
someone felt great about his AFC East predictions at
Oh
that point.
man. Yeah, I had the Patriots winning the AFC East, and then I went back to look, and I had the Texans going 5-12. So, you know, like I said, bad year. I just actually wrapped up my all 272, I'm not running from it. Okay, we're embracing the process. We
You feel
changed a
good about
lot.
it?
We changed everything this year. So I'll divert just to explain just a little bit about this. I think what happened was, so the way that my Excel spreadsheet is set up, I literally have 272 empty cells in a spreadsheet. You start week one with Buffalo because it's a conference by alphabetical order and then city by alphabetical order. So you end up with Buffalo week one, and then you pick, I used to pick their whole season, then you'd end with Seattle week 17, right? And what happens is you go into the process with a couple cute ideas like I did last year and thinking, okay, you know, New England I think might be pretty good. And so you get New England early on and you give them those 10 wins. Well, those losses have to come somewhere, and they're always at the expense of the teams in the NFC further down because you keep kicking it down the road. You're like, well, I need to make up these losses somewhere. I need to make up these losses somewhere. And then that's what happens when you have the Cardinals going 1-16 and the Bucks going 3-14. And, you know, the GM is seeking you out to let you know what an idiot you are. So totally changed the process this year. And we're making,
Running you down in a state that neither you or him live in.
yes. But anyway, totally changed the process this year, so I'm ready to go. But the point on Stroud was he looked awful in the preseason last year, and Bryce Young looked like we thought he would, right? Bryce Young looked together. He was orchestrating drives. He was hitting the smart completions. And so I'm sitting there thinking, okay, this is exactly what it was supposed to look like. And our entire perception of everything was flipped upside down. And I'm wondering what quarterback is going to do that, right? Because Jaden Daniels looked awesome. Caleb Williams looked awesome. Bo Nix looked really good and was highly productive. And Michael Penix isn't going to play, so you're going to kind of throw that out. And JJ McCarthy's not going to play this year. So one of these quarterbacks is going to look way better when bullets are live, and one of these quarterbacks is going to look so much worse than we imagine when
And
bullets start to fly.
I think part of that too, Connor, is like you have to. It's hard because, like, the Texans, we wouldn't have said going into the year last year that the Texans had a good situation for CJ Stroud. Nobody would have said that.
Right.
But it wound up being one. You know what I mean? Like, it wound up like, are you Laremy Tunsil at left tackle, a really solid offensive line? You've invested in that group. Nico Collins, we didn't know, was about to turn the corner, right? And then Tank Dell wound up being really, really good as a rookie. And, you know, you add all of that together with D'Amico Ryans coming in and Bobby Slowik coming in, and that wound up being a way better situation than we thought. So I think, you know, I think a big part of it is what's, you know, and we always focus so much on the one player, like who's got the best situation when it comes to the other 10 around him. And I think it's probably Caleb of the guys who's going to play, right?
Right.
It's weird because that's not normally the number one pick, but, you know, obviously they traded for the pick, so they weren't the worst team in the league last year. I'd be worried with Jaden Daniels and the tackles there, you know. And like I think they, you know, Terry McLaurin's a really good receiver, but beyond McLaurin, they're a little short there. Like Jahan Dotson hasn't had a great summer, you know. So do they have enough around him? And Bo Nix, like, I mean, look, like the offensive line's been a question mark there. And Garrett Bowles is somebody that they, you know, had at least had trade discussions on. And who's Bo Nix going to be throwing to, you know? Judy's gone. Tim Patrick's coming back off of injury. Cortland Sutton's a good player. Do you think that that's a how good a situation is that? Like the Broncos, for that to be a good situation, would need things to break for them the way they broke for the Texans last year, where, like, say, Audric Estime, who's had a really good camp, winds up being a really good pair for Javonte Williams. They could take the pressure off Bo Nix a little bit. And Bowles has a really good year at left tackle. And Tim Patrick's really good coming back off of injury. And maybe like Troy Franklin emerges as a rookie the same way Tank Dell did last year. Like with the Broncos, I think you need a lot of those things to kind of turn the way that they turned for the Texans last year. Whereas with the Bears, it's like we know what Keenan Allen is, we know what DJ Moore is. Roma Dunze is a number three receiver, should be really good. They've invested in the offensive line. It's just, you know, and Shane Waldron did a great job with Geno Smith. You know, so
Right.
you're, I feel like you're guessing less with the Bears than you are with the other guys, as far as just what's going to be around them and what it's going to look like.
There's going to be like a sixth round pick that ends up just killing it this year or something like that. Or,
Sam
yeah.
Hartman's going to come in for Jaden Daniels and crush it.
Boy, I'll tell you what, I was at those joint practices. Jaden Daniels looked good. So did Sam Hartman. Jaden Daniels, though, is throwing people open. I mean, he is. I really thought, I mean, there were coaches that I really trusted that I talked to during the pre-draft process that's kept banging the table and saying, why aren't we talking about this kid being the number one overall pick? It's driving me nuts. A lot of people liked him, but
I
the
mean,
Caleb Williams hype is real. We're seeing why.
I mean, again, like I can't emphasize like how when I was at the Commanders, I couldn't go 5 feet without someone saying something to me about Jaden Daniels. You know, I mean, defensive coaches, it was like you start talking to them about their players, and it's like you have that quarterback over there. You know what I mean? Like, and then I get to the Jets, and like I'm hearing the same thing from Jets people about what he looked like when they practiced against him, and then obviously when they played against him, like. It's a and if you remember too, I believe that was the rain practice, right? Yeah, so like that was part of the whole equation with Jaden Daniels too. Was like he looks really good in the elements, which as a guy who played in the SEC and the Pac-12 was, you know, I think a natural question with him.
I'm combing through our mailbag. It's dense. It's Santa sack size. So we're because we haven't done a mailbag in a while. But I'm combining two questions here that we got, basically saying the same thing. Which of these wide receiver holdouts is more complicated? Which one is going to end first? We have CeeDee Lamb, we have Ja'Marr Chase, and we have Brandon Ayuk. And I guess they're not all technically holdouts, some different situations here. But which one is going to end first? Do you think that any of these guys would actually venture to the point where they're going to miss legitimate football?
Okay, I think the Ayuk one's the most complicated. I also think it's the one that ends the first. And the reason why is because the sides have been pushing buttons of late to try to find closure on it,
I
right?
think he's coming back, don't
I
you?
do too. Yeah. And I think that there was always their intention to bring him back. Here, I'll give you like, I may have given you this like scene thing before, but like, I'll give it to you again. Like, well, the day I was at Bengals camp, Ja'Marr Chase is like, he's not practicing, but he is engaged with the young receivers. He is talking to his coaches. He is fully a part of that team. He's just not practicing. When I went to the Niners, Brandon Ayuk is on a golf cart, like 30 yards off the practice field with his feet up and like a bucket hat over his head, you know? And I mean, like, you know what you're doing. You know what I mean? Like
Holding has
clearly.
different meanings to different people.
Right. Like, you know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. Like you're making a statement that I'm here, but I'm not happy. So like, you know, I know that that stuff got on the Niners' nerves, and the Niners wanted closure on this. And you know, I've said this a million times, I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. Like they need him. Like they want him as their number one receiver going forward for two reasons. Number one, he's probably the only guy who can legitimately beat, as good as their skill group is, he's the one guy who can legitimately beat man coverage with top corners, right? And there's a real value in that in Kyle Shanahan's office. They need that guy who can beat man coverage, and he's the one guy who can really do it, right? So that's number one. Number two, look at the age of everybody around him, right? Debo's not old, but he's beat up. Christian McCaffrey's not old, but he's got a lot of mileage on his body. George Kittle's in his 30s. So if you're signing Brock Purdy long-term, who's coming with him for the next 5 years?
I mean,
maybe Ricky Pearsall, but we don't know. You know, we don't know what that's going to be. Like Brandon Ayuk's the guy. So, you know, I think a huge part of this was they were annoyed with where it was, the Niners were. And it was, okay, let's see it, dude. Then, like, you have, like we have a good offer on the table for you. Let's see if you can go beat the money in the football situation we have. And he went to New England gave him an offer that beat the crap out of the money. They had two separate proposals. Both were over $30 million a year. And he didn't like the football situation. Pittsburgh, he liked the football situation a little bit more, but the money was around 27.7, which wasn't much more than the Niners were offering. So basically that became the equation. There is slightly more money for like a good situation, but not as good as a football situation, right? There's uncertainty at quarterback. The offense has been in flux. So, you know, I think that the intention was the Niners were going to show him the grass isn't necessarily greener, with the risk being that he does find one and they do have to ship him off. And I think it looks like their gamble's paying off now. Now, this is going to come down to the personal stuff, you know, being taken care of and probably finding a way where Brandon Ayuk, they can make it so Brandon Ayuk saves face a little here, you know? But I do think that they're going to find a way to get a resolution. I think it's more likely than a trade at this point.
It's a strange time in San Francisco. I was saying this the other day where you had Brock Purdy playing in a preseason game behind no starters against a starting defense in New Orleans without his play caller. And it didn't look good, right? And I had some sympathy for Brock Purdy there because now we get this prevailing narrative about, well, without all these guys, he's nothing. But the closer that we get to the point where, and I'm pretty confident, I think I can say pretty confidently that I think this team is putting away money to pay him $55, $56 million a year. I think that that's happening. Like, I don't think that they, you know, but is there any point in time where you think they're going to kind of stop and be like, what are we doing here? I mean, you know, what's this going to look like if we put everything on this guy's shoulders and maybe we have Brandon Ayuk, maybe we don't, you know, Debo's going to be gone. Christian McCaffrey, I have the number one pick in my big money fantasy league, Albert. I guess I got to take Christian McCaffrey, but I don't know. He's getting older. You know, what are we doing? You know?
Yeah. That's why, like, I was sort of wondering if, and I think they really do believe in Brock, like they really do.
I do think so. I really do.
Know, and Kyle has said it, like, Brock's put on tape what he can be, you know? And we know, like, I think we have a pretty good idea of who he is. His teammates love him. Like, and like when you've got that sort of skill talent on offense, if the players think, like, when you've got guys at the level of accomplishment of a Debo, of a Kittle, of a McCaffrey, if the quarterback can't get it done, you're going to know. They're going to let you know. You know what I mean? Like, so, like, I think he's a really good NFL quarterback. But yeah, I mean, like, that's a fair question, because if you're making 56 or 50, 55 or $60 million a year, well, now you got to win a different way, right? You're going to have to win them with a little less in certain areas. And, you know, balancing that against maybe this idea that Kyle can make it work with a lot of different quarterbacks, it's just an interesting kind of equation to try to play out in your head.
This band, when this band breaks up, it's going to be like NSYNC. It's like they were at the top of the world and now everyone's just having a hard time. You know, I can really feel that. But I'm serious. Like, this Christian McCaffrey at number one overall pick thing in the fantasy draft is really getting to me. Like, it's making me nervous. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
there's like a curse associated with it or something, like the Madden curse.
I hate having the number one overall pick. I hate it.
Do you have it?
Yes. And so But, you know, we're resolute in taking Christian McCaffrey. Like, I think it's what we have to do. It's the responsible thing to do, you know. But
so I'm really proud of the first year I played fantasy football with my college buddies was I can't remember if it was 02 or 03. It was right after we got out of college. And I had the number one overall pick. And I took LaDainian Tomlinson. And I remember people thought I was crazy because I can't remember who it would have been. It would have been like Priest Holmes or someone like that back then. Like, I can't believe
Sean Alexander.
Right. Like, it was something like that. And that pick won me the league because LaDainian Tomlinson was his breakthrough year. He had like whatever it was, probably 1,800 yards. So I'm just telling you that, Connor, that you don't always have to go with the pack. Like, if you have an instinct on someone, you don't have to go with the pack.
Well, last
maybe,
year,
maybe your LaDainian Tomlinson is out there.
Maybe last year, I
it was the only time I ever won that league was because of LaDainian Tomlinson.
I would not shut up about Austin Eckler last year, and I talked a lot of people into taking him number one in their fantasy drafts.
Yeah.
I did not take him in mind because my partner overruled me and said, I don't care how much you know about football, we're not taking Austin Eckler number one. And it was a point of contention until he was very clearly right. And we took home a sizable amount of money last year, you know.
So I did have an ulterior motive. One of my best friends, my buddy Ron, one of the reasons I took Tomlinson first overall was because he and I were having an argument. And this would have been my senior year in college, so the fall of 2001. And Tomlinson was a rookie for the Chargers. And my buddy, who is a football coach, right? He claimed he and I were having an argument. And he said that Tomlinson wasn't that good and said, like, he wasn't, like, he said, like, I just don't think he plays that fast. And right as he said it, LaDainian Tomlinson on the TV turns the corner on the entire defense and like gets to the pylon for a 5-yard touchdown. And I like fell out of my chair laughing. And so part of the reason I took him first overall was to add to like the spiking the ball in my buddy Ron's face. So there was no character motive. Yeah.
You have your guys, you know,
that's my guy now. Yeah. That's my guy
forever.
Well, Damian Tomlinson, that he scored that touchdown for me. So I had to repay him by taking him first overall. Spiking the ball one more time in Ron's face.
Oh, man. The other fun mailbag question that we got was about the Olympics in 2028. We've got flag football coming, and I love this. I know that there's been a little bit of pushback from like the actual flag football community on this, like to think that we're not just...
quarterback pissed? Isn't like the USA quarterback pissed about like all these quarterbacks saying they would play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it, but hold, let's backtrack for a second because we have to win this. Like,
there's no way we don't, right?
Well, we didn't win 3-on-3 basketball in the Olympics this year.
Yeah.
And here's my point. We didn't just all right, hold on one second. I'm going to do the mic.
Was it a bunch of retired guys? See, I don't even get these. Like, what's the point of doing 3-on-3 basketball? It's not a different sport than 5-on-5 basketball.
The Netherlands finished in first, Albert. France finished in second. And Lithuania finished in third.
All right. So, like, why do you play? Like, here's the thing. Like, why do you play 3-on-3 basketball? You play 3-on-3 basketball, like, when you play pickup when you're a kid, right? You play 3-on-3 basketball because you don't have enough guys to play 5-on-5, right?
Correct.
Like, it's the same thing. Like, you play half court because, like, that's the gym that you're in. It's not because you don't want to play full court, or it's because somebody else is taking up the other half of the court, right? 3-on-3 basketball, when we were kids at least, was just a product of not having enough guys. You just, whenever you played, you just didn't have enough guys at that given time to play 5-on-5. And flags were the same thing. I don't know.
We had in our 3-on-3 team, Jimmer Fredette.
Oh, do you remember
Jimmer Fredette? Yeah.
That's not the mayor, is it? No, who's the mayor? Jimmer Fredette was not the mayor. I'm thinking of
Jimmer Fredette.
Some other, like, white gunner. Like, The mayor played for Iowa State. I can't remember what his name was. I think it was Iowa State.
Oh, my gosh.
Who was the mayor? Hold on. But the mayor was like, he was another one of these guys, like 6'5", like white gunner. Hold on. Fred Hoiberg. There you go.
Oh, God. You're dating yourself a little bit here.
Yeah.
We had two of our three starters were Jimmer Fredette and like Rick Barry's grandson for the 3-on-3 basketball team.
Yeah, yeah.
And so whatever, I kind of think like we were sort of messing around a little bit when what we should have done is probably just first three NBA guys that did not make the dream team roster, like should have been just our 3-on-3 basketball team. I understand.
Was Caitlin Clark on the women's 3-on-3 team?
No, that's the thing. Why? It doesn't make any sense.
I don't know if we have the time to have a Caitlin Clark argument here.
Oh, yeah.
Those get hot and heavy.
I think this is twofold. I think that the NFL will lean on teams to encourage them to let NFL players play.
Because they want... I mean, the whole reason the NFL wanted this in the first place was because they have numbers problems in tackle football and they need to introduce more kids to the game. And this is a way to do it.
Right.
It's a business. It's a business.
And I think they should because we cannot lose. Like if we don't take home gold, Albert, in flag football at the Olympics, this would be whatever country beats us is going to be like. It's going to be like so us in Lake Placid hockey. Like it would be that level of monumental upset.
I mean, Connor, have you seen what real flag football, like actual competitive flag football, looks like?
So I'm watching it now. I'm watching us play Italy in the World Games. Italian flag football, wild, by the way.
Really?
Like if you're like Nick Sirianni, you know. Like, this should be, like, your secret weapon. Like, you should be taking players and plays from the Italian Flag Football League. These guys are smoking. I'm a little bit worried about this right now, to be honest with you.
So, I think, watching, I haven't watched, like, the competitive stuff. But, like, when I was in college, we won our fraternity league. And so then we entered a team in the Nike League. And the Nike League, I think, was still, if I remember right, it was still intramurals, but you could advance through it to some sort of national or regional tournament or something like that, right? And we got our freaking asses kicked trying to run like what looked like 7-on-7 plays against these teams that were doing something else entirely. It's hard to explain what it was, but it was like a bunch of reversing and pitching and lateraling and all. It did not look like football at all. And
oh
so
my
I'll
God.
Be, yeah. So it was totally different. And so I don't know. I'm interested to see like what this looks like. I also like, is it different enough where our best option wouldn't be to have Caleb Williams out there or Jalen Hurts out there or whoever else out there? Cause you know, the NFL is going to want its stars out there. Like, is that not the best thing? I don't know.
Here, so there's two things that can happen, Albert, that'll be hilarious. One is that the NFL leans on everybody and shoehorns their stars in, and we get our asses beat because we don't understand the rules. And then we lose like our native game to like everybody else in the world. And the other thing that could happen, which would be funny.
In which case we all say, well, what would happen if we play tackle?
Put the pads on, yeah. And then you have like Justin Jefferson like shoving someone. And the other thing that could happen is we trot out, you know, whatever, our current U.S. flag football team, and we lose, and then it's like the Soviet Union and U.S. hockey in Lake Placid. And I'm just going to say this. I'm watching this, and... So there's like one, two, three.
Does it look like football though, or am I wrong?
No, there's five people on the field, right? And so we have a center, we have like a slot receiver, a wide receiver, and then we got a guy that's like sideways under the center's butt.
Do you have to count to five, Mississippi?
There was a rush in the last play that I saw, but this one's wild, okay? So there's a guy standing like sideways near the center's butt, and then there's a quarterback like way back in the shotgun. So then, surprise, they snap it to the sideways guy, then the sideways guy pitches it to the quarterback, then the quarterback pitches it back to the sideways guy, and then the sideways guy runs it in for a touchdown. It's wild. Mm-hmm. I don't know any other way to describe it. I don't think I'd be able to write adequately about flag football.
It's not the same sport. It's like, I think that's the interesting thing about it is like,
you think Sports Illustrated's going to send us out there, cover flag football in LA?
That would actually be kind of fun.
What a gambit.
I've never covered an Olympics. Apparently the accommodations can be a little hit or miss, right? But
yeah, I mean, depending on where you go. Yeah, I think LA will be fine. It's not going to be like Sochi, you know?
I don't know. Tokyo is a great city, and Tokyo looked kind of sketchy too.
Did it? Tokyo had a bad one?
I mean, it was, in fairness to them, it was COVID, but like some of the rooms looked like,
So, I mean, talked to our writers wandering the River Seine in Paris. I feel like they were doing all right, you know?
Yeah. I got some friends in LA I could stay with in case of emergency. So, but
yeah.
Yeah, that would be fun to cover it. I would say, so will this become one of those things where it's like, didn't they have like Mike Piazza play for like the Italian like Olympic baseball team at one point or something like that? Like,
yes.
So will that sort of thing happen, you think?
Where you have like, oh,
Tommy
God.
DeVito playing for Italy.
Wow. I didn't even think of that. Would he declare as a dual citizen to play for
Italy?
Well,
now if he gets his dual citizenship now, we'll know why.
It stinks for a few places, right? Because some of these guys are great, but they play positions that like some of our global superstars, right? Jordan Mailata.
Tom Brady plays for Ireland.
Like Jordan Mailata.
That would be great. That, like, honestly, that would be great. If that's what would happen, that would be awesome.
I'm starting to like, at first I was like, whoa, whoa, pal, like Mr. Flag Football Expert, like, you know, I'm sorry, but we're going to throw Matt Stafford back there. Now I'm not sure.
Who will be the first team to say no to their guy? Who will be the first team to say absolutely not? You are not going, because it's probably going to be on like field turf somewhere, right?
Ooh, do you want a fun prediction?
Yeah.
How about this one?
How about Tom Brady and Christian McCaffrey for Team Ireland? I 100% would tune in for that.
Tom Brady, Christian McCaffrey and Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus playing together on the
is Monson the center?
he plays like legitimate professional football, I think, or did in Ireland at one point in time. Here's my prediction. What if the Jets say no to, at some point, let's say they have a star player, maybe it's Garrett Wilson at that point in 2028, whatever. The Jets say no. Mm-hmm. And people think it's because Woody is protesting the Olympics because of the result of an election or an upcoming election. What do you think about that? Spicy, right?
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Mm.
Tommy DeVito playing for Italy. Now I can't get that out of my head. Really funny.
What, Garoppolo is his backup?
Tommy DeVito too, who like the most American Italian, like Italian American Italian, yeah, right? Yeah. Like we're talking about like chicken parm sandwiches and like, you know, the kind of Italian, like if you shipped him over there, they'd be like, no, you take him back. Like we're okay.
Who'd he be throwing to?
I don't even
like Anthony Fasano. Like 45-year-old Anthony Fasano's out there catching balls from Tommy DeVito.
Hold on. Italian American football players in NFL. So Tommy Dan Marino.
Dan Marino. Got to make Dan Marino the coach, right?
Oh, dude. Look at this team. Team Italy would be sick. All right. Dan Marino, Joe Flacco, Danny Amendola.
Oh, yeah. Danny Amendola is a good one.
Yeah. Tony Baselli.
Oh, like, yeah.
Dude, look at this list. I mean, we're doing all right. All right. Contemporary.
Oh, you know who would be good, too? You know what team would be good?
Who?
Poland.
Poland would be good. Frank yeah. Zombo?
Yeah.
Frank what? Zombo's Italian?
Hold on. I'm going to Polish him. Now Dick I'm going to...
Dick Vermeil is Italian. Giorgio Tavecchio?
Yeah. Well, the team Poland would have all the Gronkowskis.
Mm.
Ron Jaworski, a quarterback. Sebastian Janikowski as the kicker.
Wow.
They'd be stacked with kickers. You also have Steven Gostkowski.
This sounds like
you could do a story on this, like the like building the teams out.
I think I just found what I'm going to be doing for the next. I mean, it makes sense. Like, there's like, if we just had the Harbaughs are Italian, they're half Sicilian. Look at that.
Oh, all right. So that must mean Jackie Harbaugh's Italian.
Man, poor Italy took a lot of strays in this episode, but it's all love, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tommy DeVito is on the Italian American NFL athletes page, which you would assume. I don't know. I think they'd actually have a pretty good team. Sneaky team.
Yeah.
I'm worried now, Albert. All right. Well, thank you guys for hanging out for our mailbag episode. Like I said, a little bit quicker, a little bit quieter as we prep for the season preview spectacular. Sooner or later, guys, it's going to be Labor Day. It's going to be the NFL season. Thanks for sticking with us, though. And gosh, enjoy the last few weeks of summer, because it's just going to be us from here on out, right? It's not going to be fun weekends at the beach with your kids. Like, all you have left is me and Albert, okay? So enjoy. Enjoy this time, because you're going to be pretty sick of us at some point.
But not yet.
But not yet.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.